From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We have been bringing the candidates to you whenever we can throughout this election season, and we are just a few weeks away from the official election. It's November 3rd, though, of course, many people will vote either absentee or early voting for 9 days before the election. Our goal is to bring the candidates together when we can, whether they're running for Congress, or State Assembly, New York State Senate, other offices. Well, today, it's the candidates for Monroe County Clerk, and we've got both of them together this hour. The incumbent Democrat is Jamie Romeo. The Republican challenger and a current Monroe County legislator is Carla Boyce. They are running for county clerk. And as we said at the outset here, this has been an office that has been a kind of political launching pad of sorts. Both the candidates have said that their focus is on the office of the clerk and providing the best and most efficient government possible for the people. So how do they do that? How do they see the work? And what are the issues they say are animating the clerk's race? Let me welcome them now. Carla Boyce, a Republican Monroe County legislator running for county clerk, is with us. Carla, thanks for making the time.
Hi, good afternoon. I want to thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, it's great to have you. Great to have Jamie Romeo, the Democrat who is running for county clerk and former member of the New York State Assembly. Jamie, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for having me today.
Carla, I'm going to start with you, and I will ask you two things. First of all, let our listeners know your website if you want people to check out more about you, and then let us know what motivated you to run for this office in the first place.
Listeners can find me at carlaboyce.com. And what motivated me? Well, I've served the public for almost 20 years consecutively with county government, and as well as serving on the town board. I love this community, and I think that the taxpayers of Monroe County deserve the best qualified person to run for this office and to show great leadership. And so what motivates me is that I believe that there are things that could be different in the Monroe County Clerk's office, and I believe I have the leadership experience and can-do attitude to bring those differences to the Monroe County Clerk's office. Now, I will say also that I believe this office is a nonpartisan office, and I think that it just comes down to the taxpayer and the voters in Monroe County to understand that I have what it takes to run that office.
Do you, by the way, Carla, do you see if it's a nonpartisan office, do you think voters view it in partisan terms? Do they typically think a Republican or a Democrat would handle the office differently?
I really don't think so. I think that people will see that the county clerk's office is one place that they truly should believe, and I believe, is that it should be nonpartisan. It should be run in a nonpartisan manner, again, just for what is important to the people that need that office and the services that are provided there. So, I think that we should, that's what our focus should be on.
Jamie Romeo, let our listeners know your website and tell us what motivated your desire to not only take that appointment to the clerk's office, but to run for this now.
Thanks, Evan. So my website is jamieromeo.com. There's information about our campaign there, but also a lot of resources, a little redundant with what the Board of Elections has out there, but so people have information on how to make sure their vote counts this year. One of the big reasons why I made the decision to pursue this office, and also the reason to I made to leave state government in the state legislature and come back to work within county government, was because for a very long time, most of my career has been spent as a staffer, as a person that worked in the back of the room on behalf of other public officials and elected officials, really on behalf of this community. And for a very long time, most of it was dominated during the height of the Brooks and the DeNolfo administration, where I had a front seat to what dysfunctional government looked like. And then, unfortunately, that also extended into the county clerk's office, where we saw within the clerk's office under the DeNolfo administration that there had been fees being waived for certain individuals, and pistol permit opt-out forms that got shoved into drawers and boxes that weren't getting processed, that the office was being used for political grooming, some thought, rather than for doing the job of the clerk's office and inherently becoming a partisan office. I've just dedicated a lot of my time towards educating the community about the value of government, of local government, county government. I've always believed that our county government can do a lot more. And when our now county executive Bella was successful in setting county government in a new direction with the new administration, I saw a nice opportunity where I could be a partner to not only help be a part of that change in a pivoting of county government in our community in a positive, constructive way, but also just within the clerk's office operations as well, that I think have been overlooked for some time.
Well, you're right to point out that the last three Monroe County clerks have gone on to become Monroe County executive. So when you say that the office sort of became, as you witnessed it, more about politics and a political grooming ground than doing the work, well, Adam Bello is a Democrat, and he moved from the clerk's office to Monroe County Executive. Was he using it the same way?
I'm not going to make assertions about Adam's motives, but what we did see is when Adam got in there, he was doing the job of the clerk's office, and simple things like pistol permit opt-out forms to prevent unnecessary breaks in confidentiality for individuals that were pursuing legal processes to make sure that their information was kept private. Those were things and rules that the clerk's office needed to be doing, and there wasn't that proper oversight. I think Adam showed us that he had taken all those steps, and he makes his own political decisions. I'm not going to make a judgment on that. I'm making judgments on the work within that office and that operation.
Okay, and I'm not a big fan of the question I'm about to ask, but just because of the way that this office has become a launching ground, I think it's fine if anybody is a clerk and wants to run for Congress or county executive. I think it's fine if people want to go from county legislature to different offices. But I am curious to know, given the track record of this office, if you see it that way for yourself. I mean, is this a one term, a full term as clerk and then another run, or are you focused on the job of clerk?
No, I do not. I think that county government, the county clerk's office needs a lot more leadership. It needs a lot more attention and focus and a lot more resources into it to kind of, again, to look through it through new perspective and move it forward and invest more into these operations and into the staff and all of these different operations of the many different agencies of county government. Obviously, the clerk's office is one perspective of that, but in my personal opinion, this has been a long time coming. I have really looked forward to the day where we would see some new leadership in county government, because it's going to take time to come back from where we were and to really move this county in a new direction. And I'm really excited to be on the ground right now. And I'm hopeful that voters will keep me so that I can be a part of that movement for the next 4 years.
Carla Boyce, do you see the office as a possible political launching ground for yourself if you win?
At this time, definitely not. Residents in Monroe County deserve a clerk who's committed to the job and the job at hand and focused on the responsibilities of the office. It's not my next political job that I plan to seek. You know what I believe? It's important that both candidates in this race, it's great. You know, we're both females who have and do uphold important roles in our community, and that's something I'm very proud of. I do believe it's important for female leaders who are put in these unique positions of service to continue on their paths of advancement and utilize their positions to act as a role model for our youth in our community. And so, you know, this is not a springboard for me. This is something that actually I've wanted. If I go back, I can think of the day that I said I wanted to run for county clerk, and it was before Maggie Brooks was anointed to run for county clerk. And I was truly disappointed. But given the fact that she had the on-air presence and, you know, people always thought they knew Maggie because she sat in their living room every night doing the news, they thought, well, she's got to be the one that runs. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, that can be disheartening for folks of like myself who worked hard and worked diligently, and really, I've served my community, and I have been elected 5 times back to the county legislature, and so that says something about me as a person, me as a representative, my integrity, and my moral compass.
Talking to Carla Boyce, Jamie Romeo, about running for Monroe County Clerk. They are on the ballot, and this is your chance to hear from them directly. And Carla Boyce, you said in a press release that essentially there have been mismanagement on your opponent's behalf regarding wait times. Wait times of more than a month or DMV appointments, residents forced to go to other counties conducting business. And you said you had some pretty strong words. You said that your opponent should be ashamed of that. Tell me more about your criticism there, and let's talk about whether whether both of you think that's valid. Go ahead, Carla.
Okay. Thank you for that question, Adam. And you know what? When I decided to do that press conference, it was at the urgency that I believe needs to be brought out and brought to the public, because I was getting calls in my legislative offices, and so were some of the folks that I work with. And we truly believe that appointment wait times that stand a month long and mail-in transaction that takes weeks to process is unacceptable. The hardest part about buying a car should not be that it gets registered, or owning a business, not getting a DBA, or explanation from the clerk's office why documents are so inconsistently denied or rejected. We believe that the Monroe County residents shouldn't have to go outside this county. And, you know, by doing so, we're losing revenue in this county. The thing is for me is that I didn't go out asking people for what do they think, what's wrong with the clerk's office. I went in this with the purest intention to run and to run a very focused and positive campaign. But then you can't ignore the fact when you get texts, you get calls from people saying, I don't know what to do, Carla. I know you're running and you're not the clerk now, but how can we get our services that we need done? And so I presented the issues at hand and simply put together what I believe is a plan that may be able to fix those issues. And so I stated that we will safely for both. And I want this to be clear, for both the employees and the people that seek services, we'll safely reopen the DMV offices, the mobile DMV offices. And then we said, you know, we are going to definitely revamp an online DVM appointment system because the current one isn't obviously working. Now, Ms. Romeo herself had blamed the clientele for not showing up for their DMV appointment. So if we're going to revamp that online DMV appointment system, I believe that we could also institute a drive-in appointment where someone could wait in the parking lot and if be called into the DMV if nobody shows up for an appointment. There's operational efficiencies that allow customers to be seen definitely in a more time-efficient manner. As I said, I mean, if my hairdresser can do that, I think the county clerk's office can do it as well.
All right, Jamie Romeo, go ahead.
With all due respect to Carla's hairdresser, I don't think that she's processing 1,400 transactions a day. And that's the average number of transactions that all four of our DMVs plus mail have been processing in the past month of September. And the truth is I'm still a little taken aback at this. The county clerk's office and our administrative team gets referrals from constituents probably every day of people who we know are having trouble getting access to services because there is a backlog, because we had a state government shutdown, because we are still in the middle of a pandemic. I can't say personally that I know that we've received many from the Republican legislative office. I know that I've had some legislators reach out to me, and anytime we've had somebody reach out to us, we have worked to try to find a solution to someone's problem. No one is ever forced to go to another county. If somebody chooses to go to another county because they can't afford to wait, particularly with permit testing, that's an individual's choice, and it's for the counties that are not imposing resident restrictions. That's clearly someone's individual choice. There is no policy that sends people out of the county. And the second quarter budget indicator report that is filed with the clerk of the legislature indicates that right now, even though we were closed, that the county clerk's operation, which typically operates a $3 million surplus, because we don't use any taxpayer dollars, neither sales tax or property tax. Right now, we're going to break even. We might have a really large surplus, but we think we're going to be closer to still being in the black. And that was, again, our second quarter report. We still have to work on the third quarter. We're working on expanding our appointment access. But to say that we're losing money, to say that we are effectively shuttered, This assertion about inconsistency with documents being filed, despite the fact that the administrative judge for the state of New York has changed it throughout this pandemic, and that's one of the things that as a county clerk we don't dictate, we have to adhere to. It's become very frustrating because I know earlier this week we heard from the governor of Michigan talking about how as elected and public officials, our words matter. And the words, even in a political campaign, matter to how it impacts these offices and operations. We set expectations out there. And when there's a perception that someone's not doing their job, people get a little bit more frustrated and angry. And they take that out on the people that are doing that work. And I know that's something I've heard our staff has been experiencing this week, is an increase in people that are hearing things and they're expecting things to being done within, say, 48 hours when we have tried our best to communicate very similar to our peer counties across the state and state-run DMVs. We need a few weeks to make sure that if you didn't send us all the proper documentation, that we have time to go back and forth to count on the mail for something to come, the time of mail that something might need to go back and forth. A lot of the different things that are outside of our control. Words matter when we're putting these expectations out in the community. And throughout the pandemic, as we're entering our second wave, to set expectations that are quite honestly not attainable, I don't think is responsible. It's not responsible to our staff. It's not responsible to our residents that do need to have access to services. Is everything perfect? Absolutely not. I will be the first person to admit that, but our team has definitely been dedicated. And throughout the closure in the pandemic, we were one of the first counties to put out remote services to expand our appointment system, to find more ways to communicate with people and create online portals to talk to customers. We know that there's a significant need in this community, and we know that right now we can't get to every individual that needs to get this access to service. That's why we're constantly looking at how to make these improvements. But again, expectations of what we need to do and what's attainable has to be about that clear communication we're putting out in the community about what the office really can entail right now.
Well, and I'll let your opponent respond to some of that, but sort of bundled with that is the debate over whether mobile DMV locations should be safely and carefully opened or if they should have remained closed. Take me through some of that decision-making process, Jamie Romeo.
Sure thing. A mobile DMV is a setup of mobile equipment, which is laptop equipment and a standing frame for a camera in an open room. There is no offices in every location of a mobile DMV that you had a fixed infrastructure that would provide adequate protections for those workers or for the residents. Right now, we're under executive order that says that you have to have appointments for anything, any transactions you are not allowed to take in walk-ins. Mobile DMVs have typically, as with most DMVs, have been part of walk-ins. One of the things we did by bringing all the resources from our mobile units in, all of the equipment is still working, all of our staff is still working. They're focusing on that mail and some of that remote transactions. And honestly, they're also focusing on the uptick we've been seeing in commercial auto dealer work and making sure that that's continuing to get processed. But we're able to do it within the four branches that we have, where we have brought in additional workers that are helping us do high touch surface cleaning and sanitizing throughout the day, where we have our security guards that are able to help us keep the lines in the appointment system moving forward, where we're able to provide a much more safer place for residents to be able to get an access to that service as opposed to the general meeting room in a town hall where the amount of infrastructure we would need to bring in to bring in all that adequate safety to then manage a crowd, potentially people coming into a town hall, that would be significantly expensive and it's much more risky right now. And that was a decision that we felt made a lot more sense. And also to one of Carla's points, while there's been this conversation about remote transactions and the percentage that we get, when we process these transactions through the mail, we still keep that higher percentage as if we've processed it in a physical office because it's still being processed in the physical office. So you might not be able to drive to the Chilai or the Gates Town Hall, but if you do have a little additional time, you can send that in the mail. So it's one of those we are still waiting. Honestly, as we're seeing more institutions close down, and more educational institutions going towards remote learning. I don't see in 2020 or the winter of 2021 where mobile VMBs are in a position to safely open with the amount of investments that would need to be made in order to make it safe and then take away from the mail-in and remote transaction processes that we have right now.
All right, Carla Boyce, go ahead.
Wow, that was a lot. Well, number one, I mean, like my opponent likes to always like lean on other other public officials when she doesn't have an answer to certain things, and to bring in the governor of Michigan on this whole way on this. Let's stick to the issues, Ms. Romeo. You know, the thing is that people are frustrated, and you know what? By me saying these things, don't use me as like the person that came up with these ideas. These were brought to me. You can see it on your own Facebook page that people are frustrated with how you're running the office. And it, you know what? Again, I'm going to point to the fact that I do not at all fault the people that work in the clerk's office. I think they're working diligently and hard to make the customer feel as comfortable as possible. But you talk about, you know, you're not going to maybe open the DMVs through 2021. Well, you know what? We have to be able to partner with community, our local governments, to ensure that if we do and when I become county clerk, we will open those offices and we will make sure that people are feeling safe and confident that they can walk in those offices. With greater investment, we can use UV light, and it's proven to deactivate the COVID-19 in the air and on the surfaces. We can invest in ventilation improvements so the air does not become stagnant. And, of course, people will be using masks, social distancing, plexiglass shields in place like they are at the county clerk's office right now. We also could institute for our vulnerable populations like they have in, you know, some stores and things like that. We can have senior citizen blocks for appointments. See, the thing is for me is that it all goes down again. And in Miss Romeo the other night when we debated, poo-pooed that customer service should be the cornerstone of the county clerk's office. But you know what? Sometimes people need to be face-to-face with another person. That's where a huge portion of our population that are senior citizens that don't feel comfortable always using technology. And they feel like they need to be guided as to how to use those, you know, fill out documents, how they can, you know, make sure and ensure that what they're giving to the county clerk's office is processed in a timely manner. And so that those are some of the ideas that I have, but I'm speaking as a user. I'm speaking as the daughter of an elderly father, and he would never, ever be able to go on to an online service and feel comfortable that he would have his documents processed. Now, I told the story the other night about an older woman who was the mode of transportation for her husband who was going to dialysis, and she couldn't get into the clerk's office to renew her license, and she was in tears. That speaks to the heart. This is about people's being able to supply and be able to work for their families and be able to get to work. And so these are some of the ideas that I have, and I hope that people feel comfortable that I can do a good job and that they will vote for me on November 3rd.
I'll let your opponent respond. Go ahead, Ms. Romeo.
Well, I would have hoped if my opponent as a county legislator was receiving constituent cases regarding need for access to services, she would have referred them to my office so we could have helped those individuals, as we've done with every case that's been referred to our office, because we know that there's a lot of frustrations. But I have a question actually to clarify for Carla, because you talked about investing in infiltration system with mobile DMV units. Are you saying that county government should be paying for building facilities and paying for the infiltration systems at town halls? I mean, because that's what it would have to require, because those are not county facilities. You're going into other municipality buildings, and those are the things that are outside of our control.
Carla Boyce, go ahead.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know what, if we fought for our fair share from the state government and we're not stagnant at 12.7% and asked for the 25%, we could afford those. Those could come out of the CARES funding. So there's no reason why that can't be done. And you know what? It's all our taxpayers' dollars. I'm a taxpayer. You're a taxpayer. And the people that use the facilities and use the county clerk's office, I don't think they personally would care where that money came from because they all pay taxes. So we could work. I would feel comfortable working with the people in our community, our leaders in our towns, to come up with a solution to how it would help both the town government as well as county government, as the county clerk's office, to be able to make those changes. And I would, you know, to correct the shortfalls in revenue caused by individuals using the non-Monroe County clerk DMVs and by easing customers back to those reduced wait times and improve efficiency and implementation of efficient and long-lasting solutions. So I truly believe it can be done.
Ms. Boyce, to answer Jamie Romeo's point about if your constituents were complaining, you could have referred them. Did you do that?
Yes, our office has. Actually, our office on the Republican side of the legislature has referred our constituents who are having issues to her office.
Okay. We've got Carla Boyce and Jamie Romeo who are running for Monroe County Clerk, and you're hearing where they differ perhaps on some of the ways that the office ought to be handled during the pandemic, some of the ways the office might be run, and why they wanted to run for this position. Let's take our only break of the hour. We'll come back. We've got some listener feedback. We've got more questions for the candidates on the other side of our only break. I'm Evan Dawson. On Monday, NPR starts live coverage of the confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who has been nominated for a Supreme Court seat formerly held by the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We'll have that coverage for you Monday and all throughout the week when the hearings are happening. If you're interested in connections on WRUR, we'll bring back some conversations about COVID in our community, helping us understand the disease. That's Monday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. I want to ask our guests about how they see their role as clerk. I think what I'm wondering is if there is anything that would cause them to set their personal views and make a decision that would go outside of where the law is. We've seen some county clerks in recent years either threaten to do that or try to follow through doing that either with green light laws or with gun laws and with the SAFE Act. Now, the SAFE Act, of course, mandated pistol permit holders who received their permit before 2013, I think January of 2013, to recertify. I'm not sure it's clear that everyone has done that, and I'm not sure how that gets enforced. I don't know if there's a role for the clerk to enforce it. I don't know if there is a view of the SAFE Act that would allow a clerk to maybe handle the office differently. Carla Boyce, let's take gun laws and the SAFE Act. Is there anything in there that makes you say, if I'm the county clerk, we're going to do things differently?
No. As a county clerk, I would hope I would uphold the laws, definitely. As a pistol permit carrier since 1987, I strongly do, agree with the Second Amendment rights. And I would seek to make it easier, though, as far as residents while adhering to the law. I think that, I support the rights of law-abiding citizens to protect themselves as guaranteed by the Second Amendment. I believe that pistol permit processes can be made easier as well. I would institute a coupon system as seen in Livingston County, which would reduce one of the steps currently required by the residents, whereas a pistol permit carrier would purchase a coupon for a few dollars in advance of purchasing the firearm and would then have 10 days to return the coupon and the bill of sale to the clerk's office to amend his or her permit. And then I would also seek to allow lawful mobile pistol permit amendments. And I'd like to offer those services as well on a mobile basis.
Jamie Romeo, how do you see this issue?
As a county clerk, we act as an agent of many other levels of government, the federal government with passports, the courts through pistol permits and the court filings, the state government through DMV. And it's our responsibility to be that administrator, not that policymaker. So you have to follow the laws as they're written. Having been in legislative positions before, that doesn't mean you can't advocate to say, hey, we've identified this gap, or we've identified a redundancy, or we think that you should be aware of something. There's no reason why you still couldn't use your office to advocate for what you think might be good policy. But then when it comes to administering it, it needs to be your job to administer them as they're set through the law. But I have to comment on Carla's proposal, because, and I know this has been a recent conversation this week regarding this blank coupon initiative, and I don't know whether it is a current policy in Livingston County or not, but Section 400 of the penal law says that it is illegal for a permit holder to possess a weapon or a firearm that is not on their permit. So the idea that somebody could have a coupon to take a firearm home before the county clerk has received the bill of sale and added it onto their permit sounds like we're just inviting law-abiding gun owners to, maybe not because they were informed, but to break state law by possessing a weapon that, should somebody ask and they have a valid pistol permit, it's not on their pistol permit. Therefore, they should not be legally possessing that weapon. It may not necessarily be an illegal act to be done as a policy, but it's putting a huge threat for that law-abiding gun owner. But then on top of that, there are reasons why someone's pistol permit could not be in good standing. There could be an order of protection that goes out in the community. Maybe there's a red flag issuance that has been raised where somebody said, I think someone might be a threat to themselves or others, and they're asking the courts to look at something. But if we preemptively allow people to buy weapons without going through the process of the amending process and making sure that it's processed through the clerk's office, we're creating a lot of extra risk in that community that I don't think is fair to that pistol permit holder to unnecessarily take that risk. But then also not knowing the current standing of someone's pistol permit, because at the time of sale that they get a coupon, everything might be fine. But as we all know, things can happen. And we have to make sure, particularly when we talk about firearms in our community, that we're having the best policies possible.
Ms. Boyce, you want to respond?
Well, with regards to Section 400 of the penal law, I understand what Ms. Romeo is saying, but our pistol permit holders had background checks through the state. They're obviously doing it in Livingston County, because I've heard from many residents. So if that's the case and the Livingston County Clerk's Office is doing something that's illegal, I'd certainly like to be able to, have that conversation with that office as well. These are some of the ideas that have been brought to me by people that are well-versed in Second Amendment rights, the Second Amendment. And so these are some of the ideas. Certainly, as I go back, I would certainly uphold the law as a county clerk. Again, I'm not here to make new laws. I'm here to abide by those, and I wouldn't ever ask for anything that couldn't be done under the letter of the law.
All right, let me read.
Can I add just one quick thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is where I think there's a misnomer of what the county clerk's office does and sometimes how government should function. There's that expectation that you should just run it like a business. And when you run something like a business, the customer is always right. But the county clerk's office is a public agency. It's a government agency that we have to abide by the law and abide by separate policies and also what's the best interest of the public good. And in some cases, the customers might be wrong because they want something that doesn't meet with compliance of the law. They might want something that doesn't meet to compliance with the public good. They might want something that we can't provide because we still have to go through these certain processes. And it's important to have that conversation, to still have customer service and give respect, to give information, to empower people with information to do those things. But it's not quite that clear. It's not as clear as just saying that the customers are always right and that these are the ideas that they want. We still have to work in within those confines.
All right. Let me get some feedback from listeners. We'll take a couple of phone calls in a moment. Mike writes to say, I know I'm just one example, but my company had a DMV truck registration issue. Unfortunately, it wasn't an appointment-worthy transaction, even though it was a crucial business transaction. We emailed Jamie directly and had someone contact us within 24 hours to get us an appointment. That comes from Mike. Dom says, my recent experience at the DMV was excellent. I made an appointment, and the DMV office was professional, on time, and efficient. He's thankful for that. Larry in Rochester is on the phone to share his experience. Go ahead, Larry.
Hi. First of all, thank you for this. This is a very illuminating conversation. Unfortunately, I find myself sort of kind of agreeing with both people. I will simply state that my experience was I changed addresses. I went to renew my pistol permit. Maybe I'm not phrasing that correctly. Get a change of address on it. And I was, let's say, distressed to find out that the only way I could do it was to mail it in. This was a 5-minute thing that should have been easily handled. It took over 2 weeks. I'm not impressed with the argument that they can't have customers come into the building. We're the taxpayers, handle our paperwork, and let us go. Both options to me seem what should be on the table. You want to mail it in? Mail it in. You want to go down to the office? Go down to the office. But I don't think this cold cut one way or the other works for me. Thank you.
Larry, thank you. Go ahead, Jamie Romeo.
I appreciate that feedback. And one of the decisions that we made when we reopened our offices, we actually started taking some pistol permit transactions when we were still closed and we were not allowed to have people come in. But then when we reopened our doors to the public, we have new pistol permit applications as the only walk-in transactions because there's much more in person that has to happen. You can't do it through the mail. And amendments such as address changes now go through through the mail. And one of the reasons is because we have witnessed a significant uptick in the demand for people wanting to submit new applications for new pistol permits. We've already outperformed in this department the number of new pistol permit transactions that we processed to this date more right now in 2020 than what we did at this time in 2019. And that's because similar to the DMVs, and sometimes I'm a little interested that I don't hear this as much. If you try to go to our appointment system to get an appointment for a pistol permit application, that also fills up very quickly. And it is, if you look at the beginning on a Monday, booked for an entire week of only people coming in to file new applications for pistol permits. So that's, again, one of the decisions we made, judging what we were understanding from the community, the need that we were hearing, the backlogs that we were concerned with, and how we could best allocate our resources. But I still understand some things are taking more time, and it's frustrating.
Carla Boyce, do you want to respond to that too? Go ahead.
Well, as long as you allow Jamie to ask me a question, I have a question for her.
Sure.
With regards to the appointment system, okay, so I had somebody call me just recently, and they went on to the appointment system for the DMV, and they said that they couldn't find an appointment till well into, I believe it was 2025 or 2024. I think it was 2025, but I could be wrong. Maybe 2021.
Sure.
You know, I just, you know, Jamie, I think the thing is that for me is that, you know, I'm a level-headed person, and I just want to be able to serve this county to the best of my abilities. And you know what? Whether it's you or me that ends up winning in November, I just want the best service for what we have to give to the community. And so, you know, let's revamp. Let's think about other ways that we can do this. Maybe, you know, allocating additional resources for those mail-in transactions so that they're processed within 48 hours. So the gentleman that just called, you know, he waited, what did he say? He waited 2 weeks for his change of address on his pistol permit. Yeah, I think that for him probably was really frustrating. And so maybe, you know, those are some of the things that, you know, maybe look at those things and say, okay, can we possibly reallocate to do that in a more timely fashion?
Sure. We have been doing that. We actually have a brand new appointment system that we just did as a part of the reopening system. We worked actually with the state DMV commissioner's office and used the same system that state-run DMVs use. It has, it's a lot more robust than our old system. It's got a lot greater capacity, but I know we hear this sometimes, but the way our system works is it only permits appointments to get booked 90 days out from the current day. So while you could scroll to several years in advance, it will not permit you to make an appointment unless it's within that 90-day window, because that's how the system is set up. But I do think that, unfortunately, we are getting closer to that time. I believe yesterday when we looked, the soonest you could get an appointment was getting into December. So we do know that there is still those waits, and the volume of work has not dropped off, despite the fact that every 2 weeks we have been expanding the access and the number of appointment slots the system takes in. We're not seeing demand go down, but part of that is identifying also that we had a four-month closure. We live in the third largest city in the state of New York, and there's a lot of need in this community. And quite frankly, even if we doubled, I think, our whole operation tomorrow, I still don't think we would be able to meet that overwhelming need. And there's a lot more that we have to do. One of the things that I'm really personally, I'm getting frustrated with is we know that there are some pilots being run by state DMV in other counties in the state-run DMVs for vehicle registration and online learner's permit testing. We don't have access to that yet. We've been asking, and we're waiting to see when that system will be permitted and extended to all counties. But those are some things that, again, they're not within our purview, but we've continued to advocate with the state DMV about we need to make sure we have this access as well so people can have those relief valves as well.
Okay. Let me take another phone call. This is Lori in Brockport. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Evan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just would like to say that with all the political tension in the air nationally and even in our county, I'd like to know who the candidates support for president, and can they remain nonpartisan regardless of who gets elected? I think that's very important with all that's been going on at all levels.
Okay. Lori, thank you. I'll start with Jamie Romeo. If you want to answer that, go ahead, Jamie.
Sure. I'm supporting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for president. I think that might be kind of obvious. I think that we are really in unprecedented times. And in my experience working in local campaigns and elections, it's really, I get very empowered when I see the broad conversations we're having in our community about voting, about access to voting and its importance, and making sure people have the tools and information that they need in order to get to the polls and vote. But I do think that the clerk's office, as with any office, including when you're a legislator, you represent your entire district or you represent a community. You don't represent just the voters that voted for you or people of a particular party. And the county clerk's office is not only one where you serve and you need to serve anybody that walks through your doors, but almost everybody in this county at some point in their lives will walk through those doors, whether they need an ID or they're going through the courts process or they're involved in a real estate transaction. There are so many different ways that the county clerk's office touches our lives, and it's important that we're able to be an opening and welcoming place, and also that we have that reputation of being honest and upfront and having clear communications about our operations so that people have that level of trust that they can get an answer, get a question answered, that they can find a solution, and that we're here to be a community resource for them.
Carla Boyce.
Yes. Well, as a county legislator, you know that I've been able to work across the aisle on countless occasions to put the community first. But with regards to the presidential election, you know what? There's been some things that have gone on between both sides of the aisle. And I think both candidates have done things that are questionable and disappointing. I think we're all frustrated and tired when we, you know, when we see these things going on the national level. You know, my focus every day as a county legislator and the community I serve as the youth coordinator at CCSI, I understand the community and our local issues. And recently, and how the county clerk's office could be better for our residents. If pressed, yes, I will support Trump. I don't like some of his rhetoric. I'm going to tell you right now. I think about when he was on the show that he was on for years. He hasn't changed from that. But you know what? He has done more for this country. If you really want to do a fact check, he's done more for this country in his last few years as president. He's, you know, done a lot of things for businesses. And as a former business owner, I feel that jobs are very important, especially during these trying times, and that he is he's best equipped to tackle those issues. One thing that, you know, I think is really important to talk about, too, is the fact that, you know, women are, you know, here we're two women running for this office. And I think that, you know, that should be applauded. And I think that, you know,
we're talking on the phone today, but essentially we're having a conversation with the community here. I think that both of us, you know, are women that have worked hard in, you know, as single moms. And party affiliation doesn't define who I am as a person and shouldn't define my candidacy.
Okay. Let me, in our last few minutes, let me ask the candidates then. There's a lot of issues that we haven't gotten to necessarily. We got about 5 minutes left, and I'll ask Carla Boyce first. What haven't we discussed that you think voters ought to know about you or your opponent as they consider the candidates for clerk?
Well, one of the things that, you know, I just want people to understand who Carla Boyce is and how I look at things. And I try to be, you know, very open-minded. I'm very compassionate about the things I do. And that's why, you know, I got to take a breather here right now. I'm so passionate about the work that I do, not only as a county legislator, but the work I do on behalf of citizens every day. And so I always refer myself with, like, I'm a dog with a bone, you know? And I don't like hearing how we can't do things, but how we can do things. And I believe that that's what the taxpayers and the voters in this race should look at. They should look at, you know, how we get things done. And, you know, the fact that I do have a full-time job, and I love this, you know, that I decided to go back to graduate school. I'm at St. John Fisher. I'm studying mental health counseling. And it's it really opened my eyes to so many things with the young people that I go to class with, the conversations that we've had. I'm, you know, I just want people to know Carla Boyce as a person that they can trust, a person that is centered and has moral compass. And we talked, I think you touched on something earlier about, you know, during the administration of under DeNofo, that there were fees waived. You know what? The minute I heard about that, I called up the county clerk's office and said, I'm coming right down. I want to be sure that I am not one of the people that not knowingly received that fee waived. And I went down there, and as a matter of fact, I asked Adam to come out of his office. I said, you know, Adam, can you verify that I didn't, have a fee waived? And so he looked it up, and he found out that when my daughter, who was, I think, 9 or 10 at the time, we needed to get her passport, he said, well, as a matter of fact, you did. And I said, well, darn it. I said, here's my check for $25. And I said, I am appalled, and I said, you know, I would never have done this. So, you know, that's important that to know that I'll never forget my mom always saying to me, you know what, you'd never ever want to take anything from anybody you don't deserve. And I've worked hard in my life to uphold the ethics how I was brought up.
Jamie Romeo.
Thanks, Evan. And I do want to just thank all the listeners for kind of tuning in. I know usually a county clerk's race and debate isn't necessarily very interesting, but hopefully we were able to share a few things about what the office is and what it does. This year has been so challenging. And as a parent, I really felt I viewed a lot of my job through that eyes of a parent. I think the fact of just kids going back to school, whether it's through remote options or in person, has been very scary. And the threat of the virus is still out there. And one of the things that really has become ingrained in a lot of the decision-making that happens in the county clerk's office is that we're going back to our team leads and we're going back to our staff and we're talking about what the next changes in policies need to be and making sure that we're not taking on additional risks that aren't necessarily worthy of the time and what we need to do. Because we know that there's a balance that needs to be struck. We know that we need to keep access to these services. And I have been so proud of all the team of the county clerk's office. And I've been proud to be endorsed by CSCA, which represents most of the staff that work in the county clerk's office. And one of the things I just want the community to understand is that while it seems like we're moving just in this incremental way forward of going back to normal is going to be different. in the future. It's not going to necessarily be the same way things were before and before COVID. And the clerk's office is not going to be an exception for that. We are going to always work to make sure we're striking a balance, that we're answering questions, that we're keeping access to services our priority. But we have to make sure we're doing it in a very safe and responsible way. And I do want to thank people who do send us their concerns, because that allows us to figure out ways to make fixes and to keep finding solutions for the future.
One more time for the candidates for websites. I want people to know where they can learn more about you. Jamie Romeo online, where can people go?
They can go to Jamie Romeo, JamieRomeo.com.
Carla Boyce, where can people go?
They can go to CarlaBoyce.com, KARLA.BOYCE.com.
I want to thank both of you. Carla, thanks for making the time. I appreciate it. And thanks for not only taking our questions, but those from the listeners as well.
Thank you, Evan.
Carla Boyce, Republican running for county clerk. Jamie, thanks for making the time. And thanks for answering our listeners' questions as well.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Jamie Romeo, Democrat, running for Monroe County Clerk. Listeners, just a couple of notes as we head for the weekend here. Next week, Monday to Thursday, is the schedule for the confirmation hearings for Amy Coney Barrett. And we're going to carry those live for you via NPR. You'll hear everything. Connections, if you want to join us for Connections and you'd like to skip the hearings, we're going to bring conversations about COVID and community issues to you. We're going to bring them back to you on WRUR next week. But we're going to make sure, a lot of listeners have asked if they're going to hear the confirmation hearings. You will hear all of them next week, and they are scheduled to start Monday morning on NPR. Rob Braden is the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. We do hope you have a beautiful weekend, and we will talk with you sometime next week on member-supported public radio.